from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Left on left matchup here. Jansen at second in his Red Sox debut. There's a ground ball hit to the second baseman again. Torres has this one, flips the first, ball game over. Yankees win it. 8-2, the Yankees win the series 2-1. The season series now stands 5-4, Boston.
Not a good weekend for the Red Sox. And if I got to predict things, it's not going to get much better by tomorrow's trade deadline. A little over 24 hours away. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, right? Is that when the deadline is?
That is right.
Did it? Mego, you said this off the air.
Used to be 4.
Used to be in the middle of the day, right?
Definitely.
And it used to be on the 31st, which is a weird thing I'm hung up on, but it's annoying that it's on the 30th this year. But yeah, why? It's at 6 o'clock. Okay, so we're going to get off the air, and if they make a trade, we're going to. It's 100% what's going to happen. We're going to sign off the air tomorrow, and something's going to come down with Rich Keefe's 10-minute sprint up to the Red Sox. So make sure you're listening then. Make sure you're listening to Rich tonight. But they have 25 hours to sort it out. They've made a few moves, if you call them moves. James Paxton off the literal scrap heap, DFA'd by the Dodgers. They gave up some 17-year-old kid that I don't even think was worth giving up. They traded for a backup catcher, Danny Jansen. Maybe he's an upgrade on Reese McGuire. Good. Okay, fine. I can get behind that move. It's just that's such a small potatoes move for your roster. That's not the right-handed bat we were talking about. I expected a right-handed bat who would, you know, play most games against lefties, not sit on the bench. And furthermore, they added a pitcher today, Quinn Priester, in exchange for Nick York, which is the exact kind of prospect I wanted him to trade. Number 12 in the organization. It's not a nothing prospect, although maybe his star has fallen off quite a bit. This is a, as ESPN put it, a swap of former top 100 prospects. So Nick York a few years ago was 47 or something like that. Priester was in the 60s or 70s. These guys were both well-regarded throughout baseball. They were well-regarded throughout their organization. And now they're reclamation projects for their teams. The Pirates get some middle infield depth. The Red Sox get some pitching help. Now, it sounds to me, reading about the trade, they're worried about control in 2029 or 2030. They've optioned him to AAA Worcester, so he's not even on the big league roster. So while teams around baseball are getting better, who'd the Mariners get again today? The Mariners just made a move. Who'd they get?
Turner.
Thank you. Justin Turner. And they've already made a series of moves. The Royals got Lorenzen earlier today. Flaherty's about to move, maybe to the Yankees. So while all these teams are making moves to improve their big league roster, you're improving Worcester. And I'm sorry, that's not enough. If you were telling me Priester was going to fit into the back end of the rotation, or maybe my preference would be, based on his numbers in the rotation, giving him a look in the bullpen, great. I don't need a guy to help out AAA. And maybe in 2 years we'll look at it and say, what a great move. Wow, great foresight by Breslow, the exact kind of player they should be getting. They tapped out on one's prospect. They got another at an area of need. Great move. And maybe it will be. How does it help the team right now? It doesn't.
That's the biggest point for me, is that all the communication we got from Craig Breslow last week was, this team, the major league team, has done enough to show us that we need to invest. He said we need to improve the team. I don't feel like any of these additions meaningfully improve this team at the major leagues level. Like, it just, Paxton is fine. It's a depth piece. You need another arm in the rotation, but you still need somebody to improve the rotation. That's an insurance piece. That's a depth piece. The kid that they traded for, that's basically just above a prospect that you're sending to AAA in Worcester, whether that's for contract reasons or not, like, I don't really care about that. It doesn't do anything for the club right now. And so I still think that there's a lot of work to be done. Would I look at this and say, like, okay, this was a trade line where they were aggressive? Absolutely not. Like, I don't know how you can look at any of these moves and say that it's aggressive. There's still a lot of work left to be done. You go get somebody like Flaherty, that's a real move to me. That presents something that you're, okay, we're doing something for the here and now, for this, for the major league team, not just something that feels like good business for the future.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's not about this year's team, which is frustrating. C. Joseph, 92, in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Jones, you have no clue about the guys they gave up for Paxton. Stop acting like it bothers you.
Yeah, Jones.
No, but I know what Paxton is. Like, I watched him fall apart last year. He's had a poor year for the Dodgers, so I know what he is, and he was DFA'd by the team, which means teams were not lining up to trade for him, and maybe the Red Sox were the only team willing to trade for him. So I'm just saying, I don't get why you gave up anything. And if you tell me, Arcan, that, well, then you might have missed out on Paxton, oh well. So that's all I was saying. I know nothing about the 17-year-old. I barely know anything about Nick York or who's the other guy that the Skipper's View was telling us about? Mydroth?
Yeah, right.
Mydroth. I don't know about any of these prospects. I look at the ranking.
I'd rather not.
And all I care about is that they're giving up guys who I have no faith in. I don't have faith in anybody's number 11 prospect in their organization. That's not about the Red Sox. I'd trade your number 11, number 12, number 15. I'd trade your number 5 prospect all day long. I'd do that happily. But I just don't think any of these moves are enough. That's my only
point. I don't think they are either. But, I mean, I do think having a starting pitcher with a 4.5 ERA is better than having a 17-year-old Dominican League prospect. I mean, that just, if we're talking about what makes the major league team better, it's not even a question.
I know,
obviously, James Paxton.
I'm just saying, if you waited a week, you might have got Paxton for nothing.
You may have, or maybe some other team would have got him with a better waiver claim. I mean, that's, you know, when someone gets DFA'd, you're not subject to that. That's about as aggressive of a move as they made, really, if you think about it, going out and getting him and not letting him get the waivers. That's really what was about.
But that's pathetic.
I know.
Like, that's horrible.
It is. It's sad. And it's sad that it's coming to this while you're still seeing other teams make big moves, little moves, all sorts of moves around you that really are making your moves not look like moves at all. And that's the issue. If you're talking about really fixing this team and fixing what's wrong with it and not just making, as Mego said, you know, nice little business moves for the future that may end up working out, they may not, but hey, you can say we made some moves here. It's not enough, and not only is it not enough, it's very deceptive and weaselly based on what we've heard from Craig Breslow and what we've been hearing from, you know, reports coming out of Fenway Park and those offices for almost a month now. I mean, really, it's been going on for nearly a month. People saying, insisting that this is going to be the deadline where they go out and improve, and they're going to help the team, and they know that in years past they haven't done it, but this year they're going to actually go out and do it. And we had Breslow saying that, screaming it for 3-4 weeks, and this is coming off an offseason where the owner of the team said, we're going full throttle. So if you want to make yourself and everybody look like a bunch of stupid liars again, go ahead and keep up with this plan that you're on. But if you really want to break out of this and get the fans back on your side, you have to do something.
Yes, stupid liars.
Yeah, good text at 37937. The Red Sox are always planning for their future. When is the so-called future coming? Like, I agree with that. It's
the future is now.
Like, I get that Breslow just got here. I get all that. But the farm system is supposedly back to a good point, right? You have now like 4 or 5 guys who you feel good about. And I'm sure one of them will hit, maybe 2, if you're lucky. But for the most part, prospects don't hit. For the most part, they don't. Nick York, a couple of years ago, was a top 50 prospect. Who knows if he's ever going to get to the big leagues? I have no idea. So that's why I'd trade these prospects for a known commodity. But they're not doing that. And I have no real faith in the team if they don't make moves at the deadline, which I think is what this weekend was about, Arcand. They played poorly since the trade deadline. They played great going into the deadline. They came out exceptionally poor. They dropped those games in Colorado, which were maddening. They continue to do it against the Yankees as well. You know, you halfway get it against the Dodgers. Those were competitive games. I got those.
They were maddening losses, though. I mean,
No, they were, yeah. But again, okay, fine.
But it's against a good team,
you
right?
Hung with maybe the team that's going to win the World Series. I can get behind that. You lost or got swept in that series. That's not ideal, but I wasn't freaking out about that. Losing 2 out of 3 of the Rockies, including a game where you gave up 20 runs, that was a problem. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Yankees in the manner you lost them in, that's a problem. And so they got to right the ship now. And I have very, very, very little confidence they're going to do that without a move. And it feels to me like they're not making a move. So I don't have faith in them making a trade. I don't have faith in them, period.
Yeah, there's no real reason to. I don't think there's any reason to, except if you want to believe what they've been saying. And I was dubious about that all along. We had Hart in here. He's like, what, do you think they're going to do that again? Yes. Yes, I do. They're doing it again right now. We have until we have 25 hours. 25 hours until this thing is over, and they can't make any more moves except for random like waiver transactions at the end, which sometimes they do. They've done that in the past. But that's not going to mean anything. That's basically all you've done so far. And that's upsetting because it's not like there's no market. I don't want to hear about, oh, there's no, we waited argument for the market. It was just too much.
Market's hot.
Teams are dishing out all over the place. They're making trades in your division right under your nose, and they've been talking for weeks while you've been sitting here waiting, you know, deciding if you want to pick a lane. And I think that's really the problem here is they waited too long, and now everybody else is getting active in it. You're waiting around for the market. It's probably not shaping up the way you like because the Red Sox only like trades when they win the trade by a million, and that's not happening. There's not enough, you know, there's not enough buyers or not enough sellers, I should say. And so it's going that way. There's plenty of them. You can go out there and find something. There's teams that are for sale. They got the doors open. They're waiting for phone calls, and the Red Sox are on the sidelines. That sucks.
Arcan, would it hurt if there's rumors flying all around about Flaherty? Would it hurt extra if he does go to the Yankees?
Yes,
Rio?
Yes.
Like, you're the one who was talking about the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry earlier and whatever was happening with that fan video. Like, would it hurt extra, or would you just be like, okay, they're just in a completely different place than we are?
If they get Jack Flaherty, it'll be like standing in the bleachers and having a fan from the other team come and grab and twist is what it would be like. That's what it would feel like to me. Not in a good way.
I still haven't done a deep dive on that video.
A bad grab and a bad twist.
What deep dive?
I haven't really watched it.
She came up and grabbed the guy. There's no deep dive. You saw it.
Was she a Yankees fan or a Red Sox fan?
She was a Red Sox fan.
Oh.
She was a skater boy.
So are we on her side?
Yeah, I'm on her side.
Okay.
Yeah. The guy who got grabbed got kicked out and she didn't.
Correct.
Yeah, did he say something disgusting to her?
Who knows? I don't know.
It's me.
Here you go.
All I know is she walked over. She walked over.
Deep dive. What deep dive do you need to do? Ready?
It's on Twitch.
One,
nut grab.
Boom.
Nut grab. And he got removed and she did not.
Now, he had to have said something terrible to her.
Well, sticks and stones, Mego.
Okay. I don't understand how this lady that goes up and grabs and twists.
He might have just been like, go Yankees. It's the bleachers. Like, he might have said nothing.
Why is she not like the next Hawk Tua? I mean, that's like, that's an act of feminism right there, what she just did. It's an act of violence.
She didn't spit on the thing, but she did something to it.
I think she's a little more weathered than that girl from what I saw.
What?
But no,
you can't see anything. It's just her behind. It's her back.
A little more weathered. Would it hurt if the Yankees landed a player like that? Of course.
Definitely.
Of course.
Hurt as much as it did for that man in that video.
It would.
On YouTube, Kai wrote this earlier. Same old crap. Meanwhile, the Yankees get Jazz Chisholm. I don't think he's been great. I was actually surprised to dig in on some of the numbers. They were fawning over him on the broadcast last night on Sunday Night Baseball. It's like, you look at his numbers. He's like a career 250 hitter.
Mm-hmm.
He has been to an all-star game. But he doesn't hit for much power. He doesn't steal many bases. I guess he's fine defensively. But, like, they're really talking about him like he's Aaron Judge or somebody like that. I would easily be on board with that kind of move, though. Like, we can say Chisholm is overrated or the Sunday night broadcast is going way over the top and what kind of move the Yankees made, fine. But it's a way bigger move than the Red Sox have made. So, yeah. And I think, by the way, the Yankees are pretty cheap these days. I don't think the Yankees are all in on their ball club either. And even the half-checked-out Steinbrenner kids are making these kind of moves, or at least one so far, in Jazz Chisholm. We'll see if they land Jack Flaherty. But that seems to be the latest reporting from Bob Nightingale at USA Today. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with all your feedback here coming up. We also have Megsplaining on the way. What's coming up there, Mego?
In Megsplaining, are reservations ruining the dining out experience? Something that was in Boston Magazine that caught my eye today. I want to get into whether we are going overboard with making our reservations at restaurants.
Okay, that's Meg explaining right after Trending with Arkin.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Red Sox continue their homestand tonight as they welcome the Mariners to Fenway Park. Nick Pivetta getting the start. He'll go opposite Logan Gilbert. First pitch at 7:10. Catch every pitch right here in the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Rich Keefe gets you ready for baseball at 6:10 with the Mass Mutual pregame show. Red Sox made a move earlier today as they sent minor league infielder Nick York to the Pirates for 23-year-old righty Quinn Priester, who has both made starts and pitched out of the bullpen with the Pirates, putting together a record of 2-6 with a 5.04 ERA. Priester has since been optioned down to AAA. Greg Weissert also down in AAA as well. The trade deadline is tomorrow at 6 o'clock. A couple of deals to tell you about that have gotten done, including the Royals, who currently occupy the third wild card spot. They've traded for righty starter Michael Lorenzen from the Rangers. In return, Texas gets back AAA lefty Walter Pennington. The Rays shift all-star third baseman Isak Paredes to the Cubs for Christopher Morel and two prospects. A big three-team trade saw the Cardinals acquire Eric Fetty from the White Sox. The Dodgers get Tommy Edman from the Cardinals, and the White Sox get prospects from both the Dodgers and the Cardinals. Michael Kopech has been traded to the Dodgers, and Justin Turner has been traded to the Mariners for RJ Schreck. It's his real name. The Patriots back at practice today. First time in pads. Matthew Judon stormed off after an argument with Jerod Mayo. He did not participate today. Devon Godchow's agent Drew Rosenhaus spotted on the sidelines. And safety Jabril Peppers, who just re-upped with the team last week, left practice with what appeared to be a leg injury. Other than that, it was great, except Drake May had a bad day, too. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame with Awaken 180. How many birdies can you uncover? Find out at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. I'm Christian Arcan. That's what's trending.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Megan Ottolini, don't yuck her yum.
What? I just read these back-to-back texts. Mego has a very unique chicken kink, followed by a different number that just says, Mego is disgusting.
You have a chicken kink?
Don't yuck my yum.
Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Most everybody up here at Fenway Park with two down in the bottom of this 10th inning. 1-2 the pitch. Swinging a ground ball to first. LeMahieu has it. He'll take it to the bag. He wins the foot race, and the ball game is over. Yankees win it 11-8. The Sox were one out away in the ninth from a really great win. They couldn't get it done, and the Yankees have knotted this three-game series at a game apiece. Too much Judge and Torres late in the game, and the Red Sox bullpen stretched too thin. 11-8, the final score.
Not a good weekend for the Red Sox. Not at all.
This is confusing because this is usually Tommy Curran's song.
Is it?
I mean, we were trying to get that going. I think we need to reintroduce it for this football season.
Is that something we were doing? I don't recall that. But look, it was a bad weekend for the Red Sox. And I don't think they're going to do anything at this deadline. If they do, great. Good for them. I don't think they're going to. And I'm about to shift gears real quick into what I want them to do after the deadline, if and when they do nothing. We can get to that coming up here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. We have Meg explaining momentarily. Bet Roulette before the hour's out. I did see this tweet. We lost a Bet Roulette on something very iffy over the weekend, right? Or was it late last week? A butchered play? Something like that?
No. We actually did hit. I had written down the wrong prop that Mego gave.
Got it.
Oh, right. For that Braves-Mets game.
So it was a hit. Oh, it was a hit. Wait, were we hitting Bet Roulettes without me?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah. We hit Thursday. I don't think we did.
That makes sense. But that comes your way.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that parlay, Arcan.
Friday we were unable to because Arcan came up with a parlay that didn't exist.
Goalie saves again? That's another good one.
No, basically. It was odd or even final score, which I cannot imagine why they wouldn't let me parlay.
And yet they don't.
I have bet. What sport was that? I have bet that before.
Baseball? For a baseball game.
I bet that in hockey before.
It was for a handball. I bet a handball.
I bet odds and evens before in hockey, for sure.
How could that possibly interfere with a parlay? I just don't understand why they wouldn't allow it.
I don't know. Maybe just check it next time.
I should have.
But anyway, that's Bet Roulette at the end of the hour. On Alex Cora, and we all said our piece on Cora earlier. I think it was purely about the money. I always thought it was about the money. That doesn't make him a bad guy. That just makes him like everybody else. Like the idea that it's about family or a Red Sox investment or anything, I just think is garbage. It was about getting paid. So he got paid, so he's staying. Plain and simple. And he's getting paid at what's still a premium job, even if it's not as good as what it used to be or as meaningful as what it used to be. Being Red Sox manager is still like a top five job in the sport. It is. There's not that many markets that care about baseball. Even when Henry isn't spending on his team, he's still just barely outside the top 10 in terms of payroll. So my only point is it can be a lot worse.
So what are we bitching about?
Well, no, you could be the Pirates manager or something like that. You know what I mean? So he said, I'm going to get the second highest AAV in baseball at a decent job, and I'm not guaranteed to get a better job, I'll take it. And that's what I think it was. It's not about his kids being of school age or whatever. Because if it was, he would have signed a year ago. He would have signed in the offseason. His kids are his kids. They're the same age. So he would have done it before. And I just think the Red Sox hit his number and he went with it. Do you think it shows commitment to the team going forward? Like something worth getting excited about, even if it's not at the deadline tomorrow, tying into next year's offseason or something like that. Do you think it's worth getting excited about Henry investing again?
Absolutely. And I was excited about it when it was announced last week, because it's just, it's money. It's money that they're spending. And I didn't think that this relationship between Cora and the Red Sox was going to continue, because I thought it was going to come from Cora's end, that he'd go, I'm just pretty fed up with this and the way that they're doing business here. And I'm ready to walk away and have a clean start somewhere else and maybe just finish my career managing somewhere else before I kick up to some front office somewhere. And so it represents to me, okay, maybe there's maybe you can be optimistic about them actually spending going forward. Not at this trade deadline, maybe, but in the offseason and in the last couple years with Cora that we're going into now that he has an extension, because I don't think there will be another extension after that. I do think that it shows that there's the possibility that we're moving back to the kind of spending that you used to see from this club.
Yeah, it's possible. I'd feel a lot better about it if they invested at the deadline instead of trading for pitchers and plugging him in at AAA. Like, if it was in conjunction with that, that'd be great. What?
Cora spoke about the trade deadline.
Oh, he did today.
Yeah, this to say, he spoke to the media. He was asked about the organization, the front office, and he says they're working hard. They're working hard. It's part of it, right? There's so many teams in the mix. When you look around, not much has happened. We just got to be patient. Okay. We'll see, but they're working
but
hard.
But that's
there.
Garbage. Not much has happened. What do you mean not much has happened? A ton's happened.
Much has happened to the Red Sox. I think
fine. If that's what he means, then I thought he meant not much has happened around baseball. Like, no, nothing's happened for the Red
Lots
Sox.
Lots of things have happened around baseball.
I counted
the Red Sox,
I think it's like 5 or 6 trades today in baseball. It's not even the deadline. Yesterday, there were a bunch of, or over the weekend anyway, there were a bunch of trades. So, no, the Red Sox have not done enough. I think that goes without saying. I don't even think this rises to the level of fake buying. If Priester's on the big league club, maybe. Come talk to me. But if he's in AAA, I don't even think it's fake buying. It's definitely not buying. I don't even know if it's fake buying.
We all wanted a starting pitcher.
Yep.
Check. James Paxton. We all wanted a right-handed bat. Check. Danny Jansen. And we all wanted a relief pitcher. Check. Quinn Priester.
Okay, we don't know that he's a relief pitcher. He's
That's
in
true.
AAA.
I guess technically we don't. Yeah, we don't know
what
he is.
And by the way, we wanted a bat that was going to play at least every day against lefties and Jansen. And then maybe he will, but then that means Wong is out of the lineup, or Wong is at DH, or first base, rather, which is something that I guess Cora floated the other day. Or he's at first base, which does not feel ideal.
Breslow's in his office, like, nailed it.
Now to spackle your roster together, you're playing your catcher out of position to make room for Danny Jansen. Nobody signed up for that. Meanwhile, I have a new demand. If the Red Sox, if this is their deadline, and I have a fear this is their deadline, I have a new demand. Marcelo Meyer is going to get called up after the deadline. That's my new demand. You don't want to trade for anybody? You want to take it slow and promote these prospects? Well, then fine. Promote your best prospect, one of the best in baseball. According to Keith Law, he just ranked him second in his midseason rankings. And I think he had 5 in the top 60 from the Red Sox organization. If and when you do nothing at the deadline, get your top prospect up here. They've done it before. They did it with Bogarts in 2013. They did it with Devers in 2018. Do that again. I'm not saying it's going to end in the same result with a World Series, but get a shot in the arm from a young, talented player in September. Get him up here, play him, and, you know, where do you play him? Well, you can play him at shortstop, and Rafaela can move to the outfield, which is where I think he's a better fit anyway. You can play Duran in left field, which I'm more comfortable with. So figure that out. I would get him up here. If and when you do nothing, you still need a shot in the arm. You still need more talent. You still need better players. And so that's what I'm going to start demanding, because he's having a good year. At bare minimum, he's about ready to get a promotion at Pawtucket. I keep saying Pawtucket, Worcester rather. And then he can help this team in like September. That's what I'm going to want.
I hear what you're saying there. I don't know how realistic it is for him. I haven't seen him in Portland in a couple weeks. I've been a little busy doing other stuff. So I'll check in with those Sea Dogs.
But you've gotten the good scout on.
Like, I've seen a couple games of his recently. But it doesn't solve the biggest issues on your team.
No,
like,
definitely
yeah,
not.
He's maybe he'll be a shot in the arm. Maybe he'll become a little mascot for everybody, and it'll be a really fun story, and he'll be good right away. But it doesn't fix your pitching woes. So I don't see that as like, okay, you didn't do this at the trade deadline, so now you have to give him Meyer.
I'm not telling you it makes up for the trade deadline. I'm just saying once you do nothing at the trade deadline, there are other ways to get talent up here. So I'm going to start saying that's the way to do it. And by the way, he's another left-handed bat. It's not like he's going to help against left-handed right. pitching where you have a massive problem, but I think it's in play. He could get called up. I argued about this with Brad Foe in the offseason. Keith Law wrote the other day, don't rule out a September call-up. and like actual contribution, not just sitting at the end of the bench like the old days when you'd expand to 40-man rosters. The rosters aren't that big anymore. These kids come up, play them. That's going to be my new demand if and when they do nothing at tomorrow's trade deadline, which is a little over 24 hours away. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. Meanwhile, let's get to Meg's Planning with Megan Onilini.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Meg-splaining.
Meg-splaining.
Before we get to Meg-splaining, Arcan, are you trying not to ogle the beach volleyball players right now?
I wouldn't say I'm trying not to. I'm taking a look.
I see you. You're like taking glances up there, and I'm like, is it? It's on behind Jones's head.
Yeah,
because we're in an audio. I'm guessing
it's,
right now.
It's France. There's, Germany.
I'm guessing it's the French.
I got
women,
my.
Not the
I got
German
my favorites.
Women.
The
got,
German
you know.
Women are in pretty revealing beach volleyball
they
uniforms.
Are. They are indeed.
Because I will say, like Team USA the other day was wearing like spandex pants. I was like, I thought that the beach volleyball ladies were supposed to be in bikinis.
Yeah. Yeah, these bottoms. You're right. There's not much going
there's
on.
Not a lot
you know what I liked was Misty May. Remember Misty May? Her and Carrie. What was the tall one's name?
Carrie Walsh.
Carrie Walsh. Yeah,
they were dominant.
Carrie Walsh and Misty May. That was a team right there.
Anyway, into Meg's.
Was she married to a professional athlete?
Which one?
Misty May.
I don't know. I don't know with either of them.
Well, you weren't that big of a fan then. Hang on, I'll look it up. But keep going.
Okay. So I came across
of, like, her personal life. I don't care.
I came across this article in Boston Magazine today where the writer was complaining about how restaurant reservations are ruining the spontaneity of being able to go out to a restaurant in the Boston area. And here's what they wrote. They said recently that they realized everyone was noticing the same thing. The spontaneous fun, this is the writer, not me, of walking into a restaurant has given away to the frustration of realizing the need to have made plans weeks, if not months, ahead of time. It starts to feel like a vicious cycle. The more people make reservations, the more people must make reservations. People who snag reservations 3 weeks out leads to people who feel the need to book 4 weeks out.
Who wrote this, Jen Royal?
I don't know. And then they cancel? And do you know what that does to small businesses? I don't, because I've never owned a restaurant, and it seems like an extremely stressful industry to ever be in.
It is.
Arcan, you know well about it.
It's not that
Have
hard.
You guys noticed, it's hard enough working in
That's
them.
That's fine.
It's a very stressful workplace.
It's
Can't
bad.
Imagine owning. Have you noticed going out to eat recently and being turned away because the writer here says they went into a restaurant, asked if they had reservations. They said, no. Can we put our name down for waitlist? Thinking maybe it's going to be as bad as an hour and a half. And they said, we're not accepting any more diners. Like, we are so booked out. The wait list is so long on top of the reservations.
No.
You can't even sit at the bar.
Sounds like maybe three or four places in Boston.
Yeah, I've never had that issue in my life. Yeah, and especially, like, where are people going where you can't get
like, Contessa's that busy? There's, like, a couple of places that are that busy, but there's not that many.
It's that busy where you walk in and they go, don't even try with a reservation.
Don't even bother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which, quite frankly, don't know if I want to eat at a restaurant like that anyways. Because then I feel self-conscious. You know,
I mean,
then
Contessa's
I'm like,
good, but
I've never eaten there. Did you go there with Cindy?
Yes, I went there. We took my mom there for her birthday, and we needed to make reservations well in advance.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I can really handle that, like, experience.
There you go.
It puts the pressure on too much.
Boston Massacre in the Twitch chat. This happens often in Boston. They say they're fully committed for the evening.
I've had it happen once or twice. It's happened to me in Portland, actually, where you walk in, and it makes you really feel bad when you walk up, and they're like, oh, no. There won't be anything open for the... And you're like, how about 9:45?
Mm-hmm.
If we sit down at 9:45 and your kitchen closes at 10:30 and we order right away, and they're like, oh, no, it's impossible.
What's the longest out you've ever made a reservation?
So for our honeymoon, I made them out probably like almost more than two months in advance.
2 months in advance?
Because I wanted to be sure that we just had them. I was so nervous that I didn't want us wandering around...
You were worried about this problem.
Getting hangry on the honeymoon.
Going to Subway.
I don't know that I've ever made a reservation, like, maybe a week. I don't even know that I've ever made one a week out.
So, I
definitely made one a week out before.
I mean, like,
also,
that would be the
weekends
most.
That
what do you
are bigger,
mean you've
like,
never made one a week out? What about for, like, if you have somebody visiting and you have a group of six or something like that? You can't just trot into a restaurant and plunk down?
Certain ones you can.
I'll make a reservation, but, like, 2 days before. Not even, I'm saying, not even, I'll make a reservation, just not more than, like, I don't even know if I've ever made one a week out, in all honesty. I don't know if I ever have.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I'm not saying Kat never has. I don't think I ever.
So I'm pretty big on reservations, and I have to say.
Hey, you just made one 2 months in advance. This is exactly what people are talking about. This is the problem people are talking about.
Because I get nervous about it.
Okay, but you're like, who does this? Why is this a problem? You just did it.
Here's the thing. I know in my neighborhood in Southie, there's certain places in Dorchester that we can go to that you can just breeze in and sit at the bar. And I like sitting at the bar for dinner. I feel like it's fun, especially if there's a baseball game on or something.
You want to go where everyone knows your name.
Well, right. You can just like get a good meal, like a restaurant quality meal, but you're sitting at the bar. That doesn't bother me. But if it's like an occasion, a birthday or, you know, something like that, or I have people visiting, then I'm like, yeah, I need to plan this ahead of time because
if I have people visiting, they don't know anyway. So I'll just take them somewhere else. I'm like, ooh, I wanted to take you here, but you have no idea. We'll go somewhere else. You don't know.
Yeah, but some places you walk in and they give you this smirk and they're like, yeah, it's probably going to be 2 hours. No, but, and you're like, what?
Okay. But no, I'm not saying I'll just waltz in no reservation. If I'm 5 days out and they're like, we don't have any reservations, I go, okay, fine. I'll make a reservation somewhere else.
That's it depends how big the place is though. Like if it's like a tiny little hole in the wall place and it's busy and you know you can't get a table there. I mean, that's
right.
That's like, understandable.
Like some of those
if they
places,
have a big dining room and a big bar and like, you know,
North End's different. Yeah. Some of those places in Portland are very tiny, right? Where it's like, you got to get in there. There's only so many tables like that I get. But yeah, I don't know that I've ever made a reservation that far
out. I'm not going to name the name, but there's a restaurant in Portland and I really like it. You have to make a reservation to sit at the bar. Like not even
some
get
restaurants
food.
Do. Some restaurants
if
do that
if you want to sit there and have a martini, you have to reserve bar seats.
Yeah, some restaurants do that here, I feel like. No?
That like eliminates the point of having a bar. The bar is for like walking up and hanging out and maybe grabbing a seat or not.
I take that back. Maybe that wasn't here. I've had to do that before. When we were in Charleston a few summers ago, we had to do that. We had to reserve
in South
a seat
Carolina?
at the bar. Correct. So actually, I take that back. Maybe that wasn't in Boston, but I've had to do that before where you make a reservation and just get a bar seat. I've had to do that.
Yeah, I hate it. I mean, I still go there, but I'm like, okay, that's something we have to plan out way ahead of time if we want to sit and have a martini, and that's kind of annoying. Of course, because it's the restaurant industry in Boston and the political aspect of it, it comes back to COVID. The writer says that she talked to the president and CEO of the Massachusetts Restaurant Association, who said that because of the restrictions that came with lockdown, a lot of places turned to online reservation apps way more heavily than they used to. So, like, I worked at a place. I worked at the Gallows in the South End years and years ago.
I missed the Gallows. That was a good place.
And when I worked there, they didn't take reservations. It was supposed to be a neighborhood spot where you just came in and the wait was the wait and you took your chances.
I used to take my Tinder dates to the Gallows.
Nice.
Yeah, I did.
Did you take Cindy there? Because Cindy started as a Tinder date.
That's true. Mego waited on you.
I wasn't a waitress. I was a hostess.
She might have seen me to the table. Yeah, that may have happened. I don't know. I can't remember, but yeah, it may have. I stopped because I started having bad luck there, so I stopped. I took that out of rotation.
What does that mean?
It means I had a couple of bad dates there, you know. And so I was like, all right, this place has bad juju.
Define a bad date. What does that mean?
I mean, you know, there wasn't much to talk about.
Didn't lead many places. Is that
really? Exactly. Yeah. There wasn't a second date.
You walk into a place and loudly demand that they put on women's beach volleyball. Yeah, probably going to strike out early, bud.
Excuse me, hostess.
Can you put on some
scantily clad
German
beach volleyball players?
Why are they wearing those long pants? Disgusting. I want to tell you about this because one of the things that I do like when you're like out and you go to someplace and they say, oh, we have like a digital wait list you can join instead of like they don't do any reservations.
Like a flight. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're like, we'll jump on the wait list. And they'll say it's probably going to be 35 minutes. And then you can go get a drink somewhere or go walk around or whatever and pop back in. And I think that's the best of both worlds. This restaurant, and I'm going to name check it because they're in the article. Have you ever heard of Sarma in Somerville?
Yep.
I've never heard of it. Sarma, is it like Swanky?
Sarma and Dali. It's the sister restaurant of Dali, right? I've been to both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they were saying that a year ago, at any given moment, I think that they take reservations, but they also do the digital wait list. But they say any given moment, they have 800 names on the wait list.
Wow.
And they said this year, they find that it's up to 1,500 people on the wait list. On a Saturday night.
So we took a...
So you go on Saturday night, you're like, oh, we'll put our name down. And they're like, great, there are 1,480 people, like 1,480 people ahead of you.
Yeah,
you're like, cool, we'll be sitting down at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That doesn't sound right to me.
Well, we took...
It seems fake.
I mean, maybe Kat made a reservation a year in advance. I have no idea. We went with friends to Sarma. We took her mom and her stepdad. We took them to Dali. And I don't think we had,
Was it because you're a celebrity?
Crazy reservations.
They were like, oh, here's the celebrity...
They
like
set
Jones.
Up a table, Goodfellas style? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
You walk behind. There's a sweeping. They carry the table around. Sarma.
I'm with Arkan. Doesn't sound.
Hey, it's Jones.
Oh, right this way, Jones.
Doesn't sound right to me. That much of a wait does not sound right.
1,500 people on the wait
list. That's what it says in this article. I'm telling you, I've never heard of it. I'm not cool enough to go to Sarma.
Ridiculous. Apparently not. Couple of texts here. 37937.
Three seats in there.
Number one. Do we really believe Jones has enough friends to need a reservation of six? Usually that's when family's in town. Yeah. Good point by you. Another text here. Mego pre-orders grilled cheese and chicken nugs weeks in advance.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Okay, yeah. The person who says you're an entitled little snot, is that me or you guys?
Yeah, which one of us are you talking to? You got
to
be more specific.
I'm just trying to make reservations.
How would it be me? I don't make a reservation until three days
before. Well, you get to go
to Sarma. You're making it 2 months in advance.
1,500 people on any given Saturday are trying to eat, and Jones walks in and gets the special table.
You're making it 2 months in advance.
In the corner.
I'm pretty sure they're talking to the person who makes reservations 2 months in advance, I think, but I guess they could be targeting Arkander. I have no idea. I don't know who it was targeted at.
I don't know what's entitled about trying to get ahead of the system and trying to make a reservation so I can sit down.
But this is the problem. You're saying this is why everything's so backed up is because people are making reservations so far in advance.
Yeah, I think the wait list is the right way to go. I think if you can make like a digital wait list, and it's maybe that's way harder for the staff in time, so that's not a solution, but I do like that. And I like a place that doesn't take reservations. I like going and taking a gamble. Patty's in West Newton is like that. That place is awesome.
Well, you like taking a gamble sometimes.
You've been to Patty's?
I like Patty's.
You like taking a gamble sometimes, but other times you like making reservations 2 months in advance.
Now, if I'm with a group of people who I know are okay with waiting for an hour for a table, then I'll go to a no reservation spot.
Nice.
If it's like my parents, we got to make reservations a couple weeks out because they'll be like, meh, 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 meh. And I'm like, sorry.
Are they picky?
They'll just be like, well, this is what happens when you want to eat at 7 o'clock. And I'm like, 7 o'clock.
You know, when we see your brother, we always have reservations.
They just never know. When my in-laws come to town, they just never know what's good, what's not, what has a long way. They have no idea. Just take them wherever.
Sounds like Boston restaurants are back, though. That's good
news. They don't know any better.
Yeah, here we are, 4 years after COVID. Everybody's fine. Packed to the gills.
I can't walk in anywhere. Nope. That's what I'm being told. I mean, not that I try to all that often, but I can't walk in anywhere. All right. 617-779-7937. I've heard there were some bet roulette hits while I was out. Let's try to hit on another one next.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Jones and Mego on WEEI.
You know what Jason Tatum is going to bring to the table. You do not disrespect him and embarrass him the way that you did. Because in this world today, we live in a world of social media. We can't run from it. We can't hide from it. It's right there in front of our face. And nowhere in here you're going to tell me that Jason Tatum wasn't embarrassed, the brand of looking on social media or hearing about it. Because at the end of the day, yes, we should be talking more about Kevin Durant. Yes, we should be talking more about LeBron James after what they did last night. But you know what was the real topic of the game? Jason Tatum with a DMP. My thing is, if you asking me who he's going to replace, he's going to replace Derrick White. In a game that's not it's a positionless game when you talk about the game of basketball.
I agree, that'd be a good place to start. Sit Derek White for Jason Tatum. Like, I don't know, call me crazy, but I think Perk's onto something there. That's something we've talked about today. Jaylen Brown clapping back at Grant Hill, calling him a conspiracy theorist. And then what do you know? Next thing, Jason Tatum sits. Huh. Is there a correlation there? We've talked about that today. We've discussed the Red Sox largely doing nothing at the trade deadline. I was just reading Tomasi in the last break. He says that the Red Sox were aggressively shopping Nick York, trying to sell high, since he's been relatively hot in AAA. And so it's probably the best they could do for him. So they took the deal. He seems to be happy with it, which I'm surprised at.
Tomasi's happy
with
it.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in Tomasi. He's happy for organizational pitching depth, which I agree. This is organizational pitching depth. I just don't think it helps your 2024 big league club.
Sorry.
We've also... It's okay, John. We've also talked about Gerard Mayo, his approach, which seems to be boiling over a bit with Matthew Judon. Walking out of practice today, maybe asked to leave. Walking out is probably not the right way to characterize it. But being asked to leave by Gerard Mayo for causing a bit of a scene. It was a very awkward back and forth. It was, what's the right word? Like he looked,
demonstrative.
Yeah, demonstrative might be right. He looked a bit unhappy, and so he left. It looked like he was asked to leave, and we'll see if the Gerard Mayo approach works out. He also did a podcast today and called out the Patriots and their cap space. So let's see how that goes. The results of our big question of the day at Jones and Mego: are you a fan of Gerard Mayo's approach? It's held pretty strong throughout the day. 60% say yes, 40% say no. So good. Go easy on the players. We'll see how they respond this year. Meanwhile, Drake May got smoked on the field by Jacoby Brissett. Although the overall offense looked better, I would say that's a bad thing for the Patriots. So that's what we've talked about today. You can dial up Rich Keefe, 617-779-7937. He has a quick sprint up to the Red Sox and the much ever-improving Seattle Mariners. Made another trade today for a guy the Red Sox have been linked to in Justin Turner. That comes your way right after Bet Roulette.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boom! Boom! That's it! Gambling!
Bet Roulette, brought to you by the good people at Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. You can donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. You guys said you hit on Thursday, not over the weekend?
We were unable to put together a parlay on
that's
Friday.
What it was.
There
I'm
were
sorry.
Technical difficulties.
But I know that I missed my leg of it anyway.
It
so
was
it
an
matter.
Ineligible parlay entry.
Yes.
Well, you were all wrong. All three of you missed your picks. And Arcan flipped me off. And I ended up being right.
Nice. Well, you said that the bet didn't exist, which it did. You just couldn't parlay.
No, not in a parlay.
It couldn't
right.
be parlay.
You can't,
right.
It can't exist in a parlay.
All right, Mega, why don't you roll? Get us
okay.
started here.
Sure, these will be much better.
A three.
All right, that is the over-under for strikeouts for Nick Pivetta tonight, and it is a high number. The over-under is 7.5 strikeouts against the Mariners here. The plus money is on the over,
let me
tell you that.
Let me just tell you, it's gone up from 6.5 earlier today, so that number has moved because I bet it this morning.
Gone up. Interesting. You know what? I am rooting for a fun game, so I'm going to take the over. I don't know if that's the smart play. The plus money is there, so maybe we'll juice it up a little bit today to start the week. Give me the over with Nick Pivetta.
All right.
What is,
Mega
what is it? Plus what?
I bet it was like plus 142.
Okay, I moved it to 8 early in the day, and it was, like plus 140 or something like that. So, okay, there you go. Pivetta, over 7.5 strikeouts. Is Mego's roll? Hang on.
Here comes Jones's roll, and that is a 2. And that would be the over-under for runs tonight between the Red Sox and the Mariners. And that over-under, Jones, is 8.5.
Oh, that's low.
It's very low.
Ugh. I'm going to stay under. I'm staying under. The Mariners are horrendous offensively. I know Pivetta's been pretty bad. I'm going to stay.
You got a Rosarena now.
He's going to have all those strikeouts.
Yeah, I'm going to stay under. I think the Red Sox can score. They didn't last night, but they have been hitting very well leading into that game against the Yankees. I'm not worried about them. I don't think the Mariners can really hit. So I'll take under 8.5. RK,
right.
Why don't you roll?
My roll is a 5, and that is the Royals minus 1.5 at the White Sox. The Royals obviously in close contention with the Red Sox for that last wild card spot. The White Sox are garbage. They're selling off. Royals are buying. They picked up Lorenzen, I think it was, today.
They did.
So I'm going to go ahead and take the Royals minus 1.5. I think they get this on the run line. I think they pace the White Sox tonight by more than a run. So give me Kansas City minus 1.5.
No Paul Skeens bets today, huh? It's Paul Skeens day.
Okay. Oh, is it? No, I didn't even see that.
I plunked down on him earlier today, too. So we got Pivetta over 7.5. We got under 8.5 runs tonight. And the Royals on the run line, favored by a run and a half. Yes, Ryan?
Plus 555.
Plus 555. That's right,
it's a little more conservative than modest. I thought it was going to be.
Oh, it's modest. What'd you guys hit on the other day? When you hit, what'd you hit on?
Ooh, it was like plus 6 something.
Ooh, juicy.
It was.
Nice.
It was juicy stuff, but I forget exactly what
you take the over in strikeouts and the under in runs, that kills the parlay, right?
Why?
You do know that. Because you're basically stacking the odds.
Yeah, good.
If you took the under in a different game.
I don't care. That's why I think it's going to happen.
I'm just saying we could have a better number.
Well, I'm happy with plus 555. You're not happy with that?
No. Plus 800.
No comment.
All right, shame on me. This is my fault? This is my fault it's only plus 555?
No.
Okay. Well, let's just see who hits their bet, okay? Let's just see. I can tell you, before I left last week, going back to the week prior, I don't think I've hit a bet in quite some time, to be honest. I don't think there's been many hits for yours truly. So there you go. That's Bet Roulette. Follow along, or don't. I'd probably encourage you to do the latter. You can jump in line. Rich Keefe comes your way. Quick sprint up to the Red Sox and Mariners, 617-779-7937. We'll react more to what the Red Sox do or don't do tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on WEEI.
That's the pumpkin market.
The greatest gift would be
I don't
for
know
me.
This song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
I mean, yes. I couldn't see what the fingers were doing, but I know that there was a handful. There was a it would the bits and pieces were grabbed.
Are we talking about cars?
We are not.
Kind of.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Jones and Mego on WEEI.
You know what Jason Tatum is going to bring to the table. You do not disrespect him and embarrass him the way that you did. Because in this world today, we live in a world of social media. We can't run from it. We can't hide from it. It's right there in front of our face. And nowhere in hell you're going to tell me that Jason Tatum wasn't embarrassed, the brand of looking on social media or hearing about it. Because at the end of the day, yes, we should be talking more about Kevin Durant. Yes, we should be talking more about LeBron James after what they did last night. But you know what was the real topic of the game? Jason Tatum with a DMP. My thing is, if you ask me who he's going to replace, he's going to replace Derek White. In a game that's not a, it's a positionless game when you talk about the game of basketball.
I agree, that'd be a good place to start. Sit Derek White for Jason Tatum. Like, I don't know, call me crazy, but I think Perk's onto something there. That's something we've talked about today. Jaylen Brown clapping back at Grant Hill, calling him a conspiracy theorist. And then what do you know? Next thing, Jason Tatum sits. Huh. Is there a correlation there? We've talked about that today. We've discussed the Red Sox largely doing nothing at the trade deadline. I was just reading Tomasi in the last break. He says that the Red Sox were aggressively shopping Nick York, trying to sell high since he's been relatively hot in AAA. And so it's probably the best they could do for him. So they took the deal. He seems to be happy with it, which I'm surprised at.
Tomasi's happy
with
it.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in Tomasi. He's happy for organizational pitching depth, which I agree. This is organizational pitching depth. I just don't help it or think it helps your 2024 big league club.
Sorry.
We've also, it's okay, John. We've also talked about Gerard Mayo, his approach, which seems to be boiling over a bit with Matthew Judon. Walking out of practice today, maybe asked to leave. Walking out is probably not the right way to characterize it. But being asked to leave by Gerard Mayo for causing a bit of a scene. It was awkward back and forth. It was, what's the right word? Like he looked...
Demonstrative?
Demonstrative might be right. He looked a bit unhappy. And so he left. It looked like he was asked to leave. And we'll see if the Gerard Mayo approach works out. He also did a podcast today and called out the Patriots in their cap space. So let's see how that goes. The results of our big question of the day at Jones and Mego. Are you a fan of Gerard Mayo's approach? This has held pretty strong throughout the day. 60% say yes. 40% say no. So good. Go easy on the players. We'll see how they respond this year. Meanwhile, Drake May got smoked on the field by Jacoby Brissett. Although the overall offense looked better, I would say that's a bad thing for the Patriots. So that's what we've talked about today. You can dial up Rich Keefe, 617-779-7937. He has a quick sprint up to the Red Sox and the much ever-improving Seattle Mariners made another trade today for a guy the Red Sox have been linked to in Justin Turner. That comes your way right after Bet Roulette.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boo! Boo! That's it! Gambling!
Bet Roulette, brought to you by the good people at Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. You can donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. You guys said you hit on Thursday, not over the weekend?
We were unable to put together a parlay on
that's
Friday.
What it was.
There
I'm
were
sorry.
Technical difficulties.
But I know that I missed my leg of it anyway.
It
so
was
it
an
matter.
Ineligible parlay entry.
Yes. Well, you were all wrong. All three of you missed your picks, and Arcan flipped me off, and I ended up being right.
Nice. Well, you said that the bet didn't exist, which it did. You just couldn't parlay.
No, not in a parlay.
It couldn't
right.
be parlay.
You can't,
right.
It can't exist in a parlay.
All right, Mega, why don't you roll? Get us started here.
Sure, these will be much better.
A three.
All right, that is the over-under for strikeouts for Nick Pivetta tonight, and it is a high number. The over-under is 7.5 strikeouts against the Mariners here. The plus money is on the over,
let me
tell you that.
Let me just tell you, it's gone up from 6.5 earlier today, so that number has moved because I bet it this morning.
Gone up. Interesting. You know what? I am rooting for a fun game, so I'm going to take the over. I don't know if that's the smart play. The plus money is there, so maybe we'll juice it up a little bit today to start the week. Give me the over with Nick Pivetta.
All right.
What is it? Plus what?
I bet it was like plus 142.
Okay, I moved. I moved it to 8 early in the day, and it was like plus 140 or something like that. So okay, there you go. Pivetta over 7.5 strikeouts. Is Mego's roll? Hang on.
Here comes Jones's roll, and that is a 2. And that would be the over-under for runs tonight between the Red Sox and the Mariners. And that over-under, Jones, is 8.5.
Oh, that's low.
It's very low.
Ugh. I'm going to stay under. I'm staying under. The Mariners are horrendous offensively. I know Pivetta's been pretty bad. I'm going to stay.
You got a Rosarena now.
He's going to have all those strikeouts.
Yeah, I'm going to stay under. I think the Red Sox can score. They didn't last night. But they have been hitting very well leading into that game against the Yankees. I'm not worried about them. I don't think the Mariners can really hit. So I'll take under 8.5. RK,
right.
Why don't you roll?
My roll is a 5, and that is the Royals minus 1.5 at the White Sox. The Royals obviously in close contention with the Red Sox for that last wild card spot. The White Sox are garbage. They're selling off. Royals are buying. They picked up Lorenzen, I think it was, today.
They did.
So I'm going to go ahead and take the Royals minus 1.5. I think they get this on the run line. I think they pace the White Sox tonight by more than a run. So give me Kansas City minus 1.5.
No Paul Skeens bets today, huh? It's Paul Skeens day.
Oh, is it? No, I didn't even see that.
I plunked down on him earlier today, too. So we got Pivetta over 7.5. We got under 8.5 runs tonight. And the Royals on the run line, favored by a run and a half. Yes, Ryan?
Plus 555.
Plus 555. That's right.
It's
no wheelhouse.
A little more conservative than modest. I thought it was going to be.
Oh, it's modest. What'd you guys hit on the other day? When you hit, what'd you hit on?
Ooh, it was like plus 6 something.
Ooh, juicy.
It was.
Nice.
It was juicy stuff, but I forget exactly.
You know,
what
if
we
you
had.
Take the over in strikeouts and the under in runs, that kills the parlay, right?
Why?
You do know that because you're basically stacking the odds.
Yeah, good.
If you took the under in a different game,
I don't care. That's why I think it's going to happen.
I'm just saying we could have a better number.
Well, I'm happy with plus 555. You're not happy with that?
No. Plus 800.
No comment.
All right, shame on me. This is my fault? This is my fault it's only plus 555?
No.
Okay. Well, let's just see who hits their bet. Okay, let's just see. I can tell you, before I left last week, going back to the week prior, I don't think I've hit a bet in quite some time, to be honest. I don't think there's been many hits for yours truly. So there you go. That's Bet Roulette. Follow along or don't. I'd probably encourage you to do the latter. You can jump in line. Rich Keefe comes your way. Quick sprint up to the Red Sox and Mariners. 617-779-7937. We'll react more to what the Red Sox do or don't do tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on WEEI.
That's
you
the pumpkin market.
Greatest gift for me.
I don't
for
know
me.
This song.
And the card inside would say thank you for being a friend.
I mean, yes. I couldn't see what the fingers were doing, but I know that there was a handful. There was the bits and pieces
were
grabbed.
Are we talking about cars?
We are not.
Kind of.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.